All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go back there. So this month, this is the last Sunday of the month for me. And we're wrapping up this thought of what we've been talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. About your foundation and building and what your Christian life is. And this matter of it being a work in progress and the thing that you're working on. You're working on a building. They wrote songs and everything else about it, but it's just like everything else. The more you look at it, the more it just turns into a deeper thing. And you've only just kind of sailed across the top of it, really. And I know now why, when you start preaching on something, sometimes you're there for 2 years. It makes sense. Because, I don't know, the Bible and the gospel and all that is very simple. There's some profound things about it. But for the most part, it's real simple. We have done the changing and complicated and corrupted and confused so much that we don't realize how bad it's really got. Yep. That's really why you can camp out in a chapter for 2 or 3 years and still not hit bottom. Because we have messed things up so bad with our own understanding and our world, our chasing after the things that the world offers and their philosophy. It grieves me because it ain't about what I look around and see what everyone else has done. It's when I look in the mirror and look at my own life and just see how much it's really affected my life. Mm-hmm. How much I have conformed to just the way the world perceives things and the way they advise to do stuff and this falling away, this deception that's come on the world in these last days is how they've married the gospel to the world's description of it and their definition of it and their philosophy, and they've wove it into what they call the gospel, and it's what we all have swallowed down as what's right and wrong. And it's all the world's philosophy. You know, you've heard the comparison to where the Bible verse says about a fly and the apothecary causeth the ointment to stink. Yeah. Well, that's what's happened. You can have a whole big bowl of something real good and one fly in it just kind of ruins it for everybody. And what we've got is a big bowl full of flies and a little bit of good in it. And then we want to call it all good. And then we wonder why it doesn't work over and over and over and over in every aspect of our life. Now, we can, like I said last week, we can kind of shellac over it and try to polish it up and make it look like something that it's not. But just like I said in week number one, if you're not willing to be honest with you about all the ways that you are wrong, then you might as well just get off the train. You ain't going no further. You know, even the world and their nonsensical way of thinking about things like addictions and all that kind of stuff. The 12-step program, does anybody know what step number one is? The first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem. Even the world recognizes that you ain't going to change anything until you admit that you're wrong. And that's from point number one on, they kind of veer way off the track, but just in that one precept alone, they realize that when you open the ball, that's the thing you got to open it with. Let God be true, every man a liar, because he is. Yes. And everything just about that you've believed, or that you live your life by, or that you follow after, or that you hold in high regard, or that you compare your own righteousness to as a benchmark to see if it passes muster or not, is all a lie. And it grieves me to say it, because then where's that leave us? What in the world are we going to do? Yeah. Is there any fixing what we've done? Well, I don't know. I want to say that in hindsight, you can't go back and fix a whole lot of what's been done. Mm-hmm. There's at some point, there just has to be a change. And then from that point on, hopefully, a new crop of something will grow besides what's been growing in the past. Yeah. Even Jesus said about the tares in the wheat, you can't go rip them out. It'll destroy the wheat with the tares. And God's going to have to sort those out in the end. Mm-hmm. You know? Everything that's going on, you want to comment on it, and you want to, oh, agree. I've almost got to where I'm not looking at Facebook no more.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Because there's this side of me that sides with God so much so that I cannot hardly contain myself to not say something.
Right.
Yep.
But then there's this fact, and it's, first of all, you're in their arena.
That's right.
That's the world's platform. That's where all of their stupid worldly wisdom is puked out upon society and force-fed down people's throats to believe that it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where all of the deception is happening to the new generations. It's where everybody gets their fake news or lies or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
That's where they get it all.
Yes, sir.
And not just about politics or what's happening with Antifa or what's happening in Seattle or what's happening with the statues. It's about literally biblical principles that they've taken and twisted up to make them their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
I want to talk this week about blueprints. I mean, if you're working on a building, there's got to be a plan. If you're making it up as you go, you're going to wind up with the awfulest mess. And I mean, now I'm going to say this because it's just us, and I know it's being recorded, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea, so let me throw this disclaimer out there. I don't believe that the Lord reveals things to people in dreams. Okay, He don't speak to people that way like He did before the Holy Spirit was involved. But this has been on my mind this week. And I had this dream last night. I sound like my kids. It's probably the thing that irritates me the worst about breakfast time with my kids is that all the little ones, they all want to come in and start, man, guess what I dreamed last night? Well, I dreamed that there was this horse and we were riding down the street. And it's just like this strange long story and it makes no sense. And it's just a bunch of mindless drivel that goes on. And so I don't want this to be this way, but it's odd because my dreams, I don't remember them. And every once in a while, they'll just pop back in my head. But I remember this. We lived in this community, and there was this big, fine home that had been built about halfway. And for whatever reason, in the middle of the construction, it had stopped. And in my mind, I remember thinking why someone didn't finish this big, fine home. It was enormous, and it looked like it was being built right. But it was didn't have siding on it, and there was some stone laid on the front. It was just... it wasn't completed, and it had been kind of abandoned for a while. And I remember driving by there one day, and I seen this big track go out there just tearing it down. And I asked somebody, well, why are they doing that? And they said, well, it wasn't no good. It wasn't built right. That's why they stopped building it. And I don't know. It's strange to me how things happen this way, but that's what I've been thinking about all week. You know, my father-in-law worked for him for years, and he built homes. And, you know, the blueprints were the thing you guarded with your life. You didn't lose those. There was a special place on the job site that was built first for the blueprints to be laid out on. I mean, it didn't get moved. It was command central, these big roll of blueprints. And there was pages and pages of them that was each layer of the build of this house. And, you know, they were of utmost importance. And there's just some neat things I want to reference to that and look at here this morning that just parallel with what we're talking about here. This is the blueprint. This is it. It's the one God gave us to live our life by. It's the standard that He's given us to measure our life up to. And it's the book that He's going to judge us out of when we stand before Him someday and all our works are put on there and burned up. This is what's going to determine whether they burn up or whether they survive the fire. And we have completely dismissed that concept out of our mind. We think about that almost like an analogy.
Yeah.
And we live our life that way. But it literally is going to be what we're judged out of.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the book. This is it. We're holding it in our hand. And He's going to hold us to account of why we didn't follow the blueprint. You know, we all have this home that we think that we have built, this thing that we're working on. And look, even if you're coming from an honest heart or an honest intention, let's put it that way, you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right.
even, you know, man's law out here holds you to that. You know, if you didn't realize it was illegal to rob banks, it don't make it okay that you did. You know, it's just how it works. The law is the law. And that doesn't change. I want to read you something real quick before we read our text. A blueprint. I looked up why they call it a blueprint. And it's kind of interesting. You know, they started making blueprints in the 1800s. And the reason why they made them the way they did is because that's how they, it was the technology of the time of how they had to copy things. But what they would do is an engineer would sit down and he would draw the blueprints. Here they are. But there has to be a copy made to be taken out there where all the danger is, that it could be destroyed, because there has to be the original. That didn't get sent out there on the job to get mud on it and get rained on, coffee spilled on it and everything. They live a rough life, blueprints do. So they would take this paper that they were going to print the blueprints on, but they didn't have a big old printing press, so this is how they did it. This paper that was going to be the blueprints was soaked in a chemical. Now, think with me and compare this to your life and what you're trying to do here. And, you know, you need the blueprint that God has provided. You need that. It has to be something that you never lose, that it can't be lost. It doesn't change or anything like that. And they would take the engineer would draw his blueprint out on a transparent piece of paper, something that light could get through. And they'd lay it over the top of this paper that was soaked in this chemical. And then they would expose it to extremely bright light. And the chemical that was in the paper underneath would react to the light and turn blue. But everywhere there was a line that the head engineer had drawn on that transparency didn't let the light through. So when they pulled his off, everything else was gone except what he had drawn. And that was what was transferred onto the blueprint you were given. And see, that's exactly what we've got to do with this blueprint. You know, the light of God's word and the blueprint that it is has to be laid over the paper of our life, okay? And we're the ones that are soaked in everything that we're around. I mean, everything. Think about all of the counsel you receive and I receive from the things we see and hear and we're around and the people we're around. You know, it's a whole other leg of this thing, but, you know, people take it upon themselves. We take it upon ourselves to surround ourselves with all the right people. But you got to understand that everybody is rubbing off on you in some way.
Yep, that's right.
And they're soaking into your paper, as it were. And it's every foul thing and every screwed up, twisted up concept or idea or philosophy. That, I mean, do you realize where everybody gets their even their just the philosophy that they live their life by? Now that sounds a little bit hoity-toity for us hillbillies, but philosophy is nothing more than just the rules that you live your life by. It's the filter that you have created that you run everything through that either comes in or out of you. It's what decides who you are. It's kind of like right there holding hands with your soul. Because that's what you are.
Yeah.
And it is compiled of this thing. It's like, you ever butcher a chicken and you open up their craw? You know what I'm talking about? And it's that thing that, and it's the little pebbles and stuff that they pick up. And they don't go to their stomach, it goes to their craw. And it's these two membranes, real thick callus-like things, with all this grit behind each one of them. And all the stuff they eat goes between them, and they grind it up like this. It's the thing that processes everything else that comes into them. And they get to pick out what's in their craw. And it's funny. We butchered a chicken here a while back, and Wyatt's got an airsoft gun. And that chicken had a craw full of airsoft pellets. Now, do you know how much good airsoft pellets does for grinding up corn? Absolutely none. But that stupid chicken had ate them and put them in its craw, thinking that it was going to be what it needed to grind up its food. And that's what people do with philosophy. They hear an idea and think, you know what, I like that. That's, you know, just put that in my little pocket right here. And it's in this part of your mind that the next time that you're faced with a decision, it's like you've assimilated this into you. And you do it without even realizing you're doing it by the people that you're around, the friends that you choose, the people you have to work with. That's why, I mean, I've said it before, but jobs are one of those things. It's a two-edged sword because it's a necessary evil of life, but it's where you will be corrupted the most in your life. It just really is. Yes. You know? There's things that I never even heard of till I went to work. Yep. Things I was exposed to, ideology. I'm not talking about just sinful things. I'm talking about ideology, philosophy, that I was exposed to. It's the same approach that the serpent took in the garden with Eve. He just presented another philosophy, another way for her to process the information she'd been given from what was supposed to have been the blueprint. The master engineer here. And it worked for him. It surely did. It did. It accomplished the goal. Let's read our text here. We're going to start in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." Now, does that mean that God is just so much smarter than everybody else that even the wisdom that we consider, ooh, that's wise, God just thinks it's stupid? No. No. From the garden on, men have been taking a position diametrically opposed to God's law. Yes. His commandments, they say no. He says, let me ask you to do this. And he says, I will not. He says, do it this way. And man does it completely this way over here. Or 4 million other ways besides the way God said to do it. Yep. And it can be about something real important or something real simple. And man has found a way to filter all this and sort it all out so that on the real important things, we're going to do what God says. But on the things that I don't think really matter that much, we're going to kind of, you know, I like the way they do it over here. And I know they're not quite like us, but that right there works better. I just think it'll work better. And look, where are you getting it from? Yep. It's all men's wisdom. And God said it's foolishness to him. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." If you already got a pocket full of stuff you think's worth something, you're going to have to get rid of it before you can take on anything else. This goes back to what we was talking about, the foundation. How are you going to build something good on a bad foundation? How are you going to have a bad thing and just tear the bad thing down and build it right back where it was on the same junk you was building on before? Won't work. It's all got to be done away. You got to become a fool. Again, and what that means is just ignorant. You have to strip away all of what you think is wisdom and just chuck it all. If it's got one little bit of leaven in it, then it's all ruined.
Right.
Even the stuff you would consider to be good, if it's corrupted with your own philosophy, chuck it. It's got to go. You'll never get to start until all of it's gone. Even if you start and build for years, if you're still holding on to this little thing over here, it's going to corrupt everything you build from that point on. Yep. It's just gonna.
Yep.
You can reason and rationalize it out any way you want to in your mind to make it work so you can sleep at night, but it will not work. God said that it won't, and that's just how it is. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written in Job, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." And again, in Psalms, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The thoughts of the wise are vain. They don't mean nothing. No, they don't. Not this world's wisdom. Why? Well, it says so. "Therefore let no man glory in men." That's because it came from men. That was the whole thing of what Paul was talking to these Corinthians about, because they were saying, well, I'm a convert of so-and-so, and I'm a convert of Paul, and I'm a convert of... It. He said, you need to understand, if you're just following after men, these guys that are preachers and apostles, then you're going to follow after other men too. And even if these first men you're following taught you the right thing, these other ones are going to corrupt everything that you've learned, and it's all going to be for nothing, and you're going to fall away. Look at the mess the church of Corinth was in forevermore. It's because they were following men. Even in their attempt to serve God or to live for God, they were just following men. Their mindset about it was literally the philosophy of the world. They quit following these Roman gods, and they decided to start following these men and their credo. And who they called God. They had the wrong idea about it even still. And we're right there the same as they were in the day we live in. That's why churches don't fellowship with each other no more, because they're all following their pastor. That's why when you corner someone in the church about something, a belief that they have, or a standard, or a conviction that they, why do you do this? Well, our preacher, that's what he teaches us at our church. That's what, yeah. Why do you dress this way? Well, that's the way our preacher wants us to dress. They literally are so ashamed and insecure and honestly rejecting of what they're even considering to be the truth that they say they're following, that they'll throw the preacher under the bus and let him take the, just so that the world knows that, well, look, do you realize how ridiculous that is? How ridiculous you sound to them when that's the excuse that you give for why you live the way you do? They literally look at you and you are as one that mocks, like Lot. Yep. Because why? You don't believe anything that you live.
Right.
You live a lie.
It's true.
Because everything that you're doing is just following a man. Mm-hmm. And you don't even like the man you're following. I don't get that part. I mean, if you're in such control of your life and your destiny, like the world says, and the direction your life is going, why are you following after somebody you don't even agree with enough to defend them to someone who asks you why you do what you do? If that's why you're doing it, you're hypocritical in your own philosophy. Why? Because it's men's philosophy. Sinners oppose themselves. Always. And that's just how it is. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Why? He said, because as a Christian, all things are yours. Because they don't come from men.
Right.
Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. What does he mean by that? What he's talking about is that none of that stuff changes what God laid out on the blueprints. If you're following this, then here's the deal. I remember working with Steve, my father-in-law. And I don't know. Very smart guy when it comes to building things. He wasn't just a builder. He liked to design homes. He had built homes for 35 years. And he knew the way to do it that would make it the easiest, the most frugal, and yet not cut corners and do it right. And he had a portfolio of different blueprints that he had designed, different styles of homes that were his designs. And back before the internet happened, people would come to a builder, and this is how it worked. They'd say, what kind of homes do you build? And he'd say, well, look at these different blueprints. These are the kind of homes I build. And they would pick out the one that suited them the best, and maybe they'd add an extra room on it or things like that, but they would go by his blueprints. And so when it was time to build a house, things went smoothly because he'd done it before. He designed it. He knew where every receptacle was going to go. He knew just how far off this wall the staircase going down to the basement started. He knew where everything needed to be. All the plumbing was already laid out. I mean, it was all done. But the internet happened, and people went away from builders and started going to Pinterest for their home designs and their blueprints and things like that. And here's the deal. If you used to go to a builder, you didn't have to buy blueprints because he already had them. But now they've chosen to go find blueprints from someone else, and they pay thousands of dollars for blueprints. They buy them, then the hunt begins to try to find a builder that will do them. And not only is it a nightmare for a builder to try to take someone else's blueprints and figure them all out, He would sit for hours at night. I remember. He'd sit there at the kitchen table with them all spread out, this horrible set of plans. And he would have to go through each layer of them, measure, do all this stuff, and find the mistakes in them, because there was mistakes in them. If we just followed those blueprints, we'd wind up having to move walls that were in the wrong place because the blueprints weren't right. They were done by an amateur with a computer somewhere, and it looked good on paper, and it got him a lot of money when someone bought them, but they didn't work. Mm. And guess who had to deal with them? Someone who knew what they were doing. And it was so much more work that he didn't get paid for. And then, more often than not, the people that brought these plans, they weren't really happy with what they wound up with, because there's things that had to be changed in order for it to work. And they didn't trust the builder. So they went somewhere else for some blueprints and then expected this builder to make something wonderful out of something that was flawed. And this is exactly what we do.
Yes.
We have the blueprints from the master builder. And he says, look, if you'll just do them this way, I'll be there. I'll take care of you. Just trust me. You know, we used to have people that would come along that could envision what they wanted, and it was a joy to build their home. And then there was people who could not visualize what it was going to look like to save their life. But if they'd trust us, then when we built it, there it is. Wow. I deal with this a lot, even in the business I'm in. And it takes an act of faith on the client's part to put some faith in you if they can't visualize what they're wanting. And, you know, it takes someone with some skill to be able to put together something that someone visualizes, but they can't speak it. Mm-hmm. And we've abandoned our trust in God when it comes to the blueprint of, and I say life, that's a very generalized statement. I'm talking about how you raise your kids, how you pick a wife or a husband, how you treat your wife or your husband when you get one, how you manage your finances, how you manage your health, and how you treat God, and how you treat His people, and how you treat the world, how you pick your friends, how you determine whether, okay, we can't hang around these people no more. That's a hard thing that we've actually had to go through in the last month of our life, personally. Some friends of ours that we befriended us, seemed pretty wholesome. But the more you get to know them, you realize that, hey, two and two ain't adding up. And there's problems here that I'm not going to fix. God only can fix those. Mm-hmm. And me being here around these people all the time is doing more damage to what we're trying to do for the Lord in our own home than it is helping them fix the mess they've got. And there has to be a decision made, and it's tough to say, we can't come over. Sorry. We can't hang out. Man, why? Well, because the blueprints of my life says I can't. If I do it that way, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. If I do it that way, it will fail. It won't stand.
Right.
And why? Well, because the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Yep. Well, but they say they're Christians. Well, we got to be honest with ourselves and line us all up with the blueprint. Mm-hmm. And whatever does not survive the fire is nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. Because that's the way it's going to be someday when we stand before Him. And I'm just saying that we have taken the world's philosophy and absorbed it into ourselves. And then we don't even realize it. We call it Christianity. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here just bashing on everything everybody's trying to do for the Lord. I'm just saying we must. It's something that I cannot examine in you and then address. It's literally, this falls under the category of your personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And it's not up to the interpretation of what you want to call that. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's where the problem lies. Because everyone says, well, He hasn't convicted me about that yet. Well, what's that even mean? Mm-hmm. You're not reading your Bible.
That's right.
You're not lining yourself up with the Word of God. You have abandoned the blueprints, and you've went and bought blueprints from a fake blueprint factory, okay? It looks real pretty to you. It's exactly what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. But how come you think there's 4 billion churches all over the place? Well, because everybody goes and finds a church that fits their blueprint. They don't go to church to find the blueprint for their life.
Right.
They find something that matches what they want. They're trying to find a builder to build their house.
Yep, that's it. Boy, that's true.
And it don't work. Yeah. And everything is falling to pieces. Our society is literally burning and being torn down around us. I mean, suddenly, everything... It's so hard for me to wrap my mind around because I stand in disbelief. That's really what it is, of what I'm seeing with my own eyes take place in our country. Mm-hmm. Now, look, I'm not clinging to my heritage for my godliness. Because ungodliness has been prevalent since Adam, pretty much, okay? The Lord's literally destroyed the world once completely for ungodliness, and yet it remains. So I'm not looking to my forefathers and the nation they built as inspiration for my desire to be righteous or to serve the Lord or to be holy.
That's right.
Amen.
However, the Bible does talk about godly men of old time spake as they were moved, okay? And it's talking about the inspirational writing of the Word of God. But there is divine inspiration that's happened through the years for different people. I've sat in church and listened to a preacher preach who was divinely inspired before.
Absolutely.
You probably have too. Yep. What do you think anointing is? It's the same thing. Except that there are people who hear it and they're like passé about it. Well, that was a good service this morning. Really dealt with my heart. Thank you. Appreciate it. And then they move right along. And then there's other people who are moved to the point where they say, I'll never be the same. Yes. From this day on, this is changing about me. And then they, on purpose, change it. Mm-hmm. Even if it costs a lot. You know? But here's the deal. Why do you think he told you to weigh the cost before you start down this road of building something for the Lord? Mm-hmm. You better count the cost.
Yep.
It will cost you. Okay? But in the end, it won't cost you as much as if you bought those fake blueprints. You know? We worked on a house one time that was like that. Someone started, built this, they framed it out and got it under temporary roof. And they didn't have no windows or doors in it. And they ran out of funding. They lost their funding somehow. And there it sat. And sat there for 3 or 4 years. Just open to the elements in a subdivision. And the kids in the subdivision had been in there riding their skateboards and painting all over everything. And the roof had leaked and the subfloor had swelled in the joints. And, you know, I mean, it was a $300,000 home that had made it to that stage of the process and then been just abandoned. And so we got the job, glory be, to go in and fix it and then finish the home. And we did. But my goodness gracious. What a waste. What a waste of an opportunity to build such a beautiful structure. What a bunch of misspent effort. You know, some guys framed this thing and took a lot of work to do it. It took a lot of work on our part coming in to strip up the old floor. We had to sand the joints of the subfloor where they were swelled. To tear it all out would have undone so much. It would have just been too much. So we had to do a lot of extra work to make it work. And we did. But it don't have to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, we have to, you know, just look, you know, summon all up what I've been talking about all month long is this. If you are a child of God, then you're supposed to be building something for His kingdom, both here and there. Mm-hmm. And what you build here for the kingdom of God is what you're going to have there in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You know, you've heard him preach about it 100 times. But we need to start living our lives like that's a fact. Like it's a reality. I mean, what I leave here today and go home and spend my time doing. What I do. The way I talk to people throughout this week that come by my shop and speak to me about, you know, contracting me to do a job, or they want to tell me about their problems, or they want to cry and tell me about how the Lord saved them, or whatever it is. How I respond to that, and how I interact with these people that God puts in my path. Look, those are the things that are counting, okay? And it has to be done the way He said to do it, or else it's all for nothing. And remember what I said about laying into somebody else's foundation. Man, everything I say, I've got people that come by my shop and they're so... Yesterday a man come by. And he started out just right away. And he knows me. I know him. He knows us. He knows what we believe and what we preach about what the Bible says about this. And yet, they're just stuck in this groove so much that, just this... They are the literal Baptist equivalent of a Catholic in the Philippines taking a scourge and scourging themselves in the streets till the blood runs because they're such a sinner. So they're going to suffer like Jesus did for their sins. Oh, we're just all sinful as long as you're in that flesh. And I said, hey, now I looked at him, I said, now good and well that sin's a choice. I said, I'll never be above being susceptible to sin as long as I'm in this world. But I don't want to be that way. So I just choose not to be. And if I am, it's because I chose to be. And it is just like someone flipped a switch and he starts, amen, preach it, that's right, amen. And I'm like, well, you just got through saying that it wasn't that way. Well, whose philosophy was he filtering that through? And then whose philosophy did he flip and start filtering it through when I start giving it to him? It's all messed up. It's man's philosophy.
Yep.
Man's. It ain't going to hold water. And it ain't going to hold water in my life or yours. The way we affect other people. The way other people affect us. This thing, it's all like a bunch of things all standing in a circle holding hands. And everything affects everybody. In a family. If you got one member of the family that just decides to go sideways and just wreck everything, does it just affect him or her?
No,
everyone. It's the thing you think about when you go to sleep. It's the thing you think about when you wake up. It's the burden you carry through the day. It affects you fundamentally all the way to the core, and it always will. The older my kids get, I'm starting to realize that even if they're doing right, just their simple physical safety will always be on my mind. They'll never be old enough to where I don't worry about if they got there okay, or if they're okay, if they're happy, if they're, going down a path that's going to lead them to something bad or not, or whatever. And the Lord looks at us and He feels the same way about us. And He sees us buying our blueprints from a flea market or something. It just don't make any sense. It's real simple. The home he's planned for us here is not complicated. It just requires trust and obedience. You got a crew of men building a house, and if they don't follow the guy, the boss man, if they don't follow what he says to do, it don't matter what he says. It's going to be a big mess. We just have to do what he says and build what he said to build and build it the way he said to build it. There's nothing more aggravating than having some lumber carrier that you hired off the street on day three trying to tell you how to read a set of plans, and he can't even read a tape measure. That's what God wants from us. He just says, look, you follow, I'll lead, and we'll get there. And really take inventory of where you're getting the things that you live your life by. Don't just take it for granted that because you come to church faithfully, that you're raised in a Christian home, that you don't listen to bad music or watch bad TV shows or cuss and swear or cheat people or be unfaithful to your wife or husband, that you are in the path. Man, there's so many people that are going to go right off into hell from that path thinking that everything's okay. But they live their life by the philosophy of the world. And they don't follow God's plans at all. And boy, it's very condemning. It's very revealing when you start letting God shine His light into this area of your life. It's real important. It's imperative. If we're going to mount anything for God, we got to follow His plans.
Yep.
Build it right. Amen. Amen. Yeah.